Just want to pray for Shannon before she speaks. Come, Holy Spirit, and be the guide for Shannon and for us as we receive the word that you have for her. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. All right. One other little announcement from me, and that is, I know you have finished, you know, the God-given, I'm going to call them passions, giftings in your life, the passionate giftings of your life, and you have a little sheet like this, and I would really like a copy that has your top three gifts with your name on it, so I know if you can, if you have it, we'll make a copy here. You get to keep your original, but I'd sure like to have that. I have a few of them, but I know there was a whole pile more of you that did this, so and again, thank you, Crystal, for teaching that, and last couple weeks, Ted and Wendell filling in till we wrap up Sunday school for the summer. All righty. So a mother and a little girl, 4 years old, are in church one Sunday, and they get to see a baptismal service and enjoy that. And later on that night, the mother calls the little girl in and says, it's time for a bath. So the little girl gathers up all her dollies to take with her into the tub because she had decided it was time for them to get baptized. So she faithfully dunked each little dolly into the water, and she repeated, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and hold your nose. What we say and what people hear, hey? Well, this morning, we know it's a wonderful morning that we're celebrating two of our family. I was going to say two of our brothers and sisters, but that's not it. Our brother and a sister who are being baptized, but they're our family this morning. And so this morning, I want to talk to us all about the words of Jesus. Now, Jesus has passed. He was crucified on the cross. He died. He went into the grave for us, rose again, spent time with his disciples and in walking about 40 days, we think. And it is time for the ascension. Maybe it's a little less than 40 days. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. And he's standing there just before the disciples, he ascends into heaven. This is what he says to his disciples. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. I think I lost a word there. Come on. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, in the name of the Father, the Son. I'm losing it off the edges. I don't know where that's going. I had that last week too. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything. You know what? I'm going to read it off my sheet because there's a lot missing there. Okay. Then Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Listen to that promise. Jesus says, I am with you. I'm always with you, even to the very end of the age. How many of us feel we're that much closer to the end of the age? Oh, wow. We can feel it in our spirits. We can feel it in our bones. And he said this, that as we follow him, as we keep in step with what he has called us to, well, he's got something for us to do. And we call that the Great Commission. We're all called to the Great Commission to get out there and share the good news. Don't keep it to yourself. Share what Jesus has done in your life. Share how you've been saved. Jesus said to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I say that this morning, I wanted to, you know what? You have not been saved on your own merits. You know, a lot of people said, well, I've lived a good life and I've done good things. Yeah, I've done some bad things, but they kind of put it on a scale. You know, I did this many bad things, but I did this many good things, so my good things, how? That's not it. You can't be saved on your own merit. And anybody who says, well, what do I need salvation for, really hasn't lived long enough to look at their life and say, wow. How many times have I hurt somebody, done something that's... And sometimes we think, well, this is little compared to that guy over there or that gal over there who's done this. Makes no difference. Contaminated, I tell you what, if I took a little bit of radioactive material and dropped it in this water here, but it was just a little bit, how many of you were okay getting in? And see, that's the nature of sin and our sin nature. Doesn't matter how big or how little, contaminated is contaminated. And it destroys. I think the thing about sin is we don't understand that it destroys our lives. It's not about us being so bad that God doesn't want to be with us or he can't be with us because we're sinful. No, it's because it destroys us. That's a loving father who wants to take care of that situation for us of what's coming. He doesn't want to see his children destroyed. I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. Again, it's not in our own merit. There's no way we can't use any other method to get to heaven but Jesus. And here's why. Our merits, well, we don't have any. In fact, what we deserve for it is death and hell. That's the result from our choices, from a choice that you and I make in rejecting the way, in rejecting Jesus. Last Sunday, I just loved Wendy. Thank you again for taking the communion service. And she shared from Isaiah 53, and I'm going to share from verses 1 to 5. And this is from the Message translation. It says, "A servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field," talking about Jesus. "And there was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. And here on the cross it says, he was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. No one looked at him, one looked at him, and people turned away. We looked down on him and thought he was scum. But the fact was, it was our pains he was carrying, our disfigurements, all the wrong things, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sin that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment that made us whole. Through his bruises, we are healed." Look at that description of Jesus on the cross. Again, other translations say that we mocked him. They talk about him being barely recognizable as a man. You know, I was sharing with my home group, you know, if I had been around at the day of crucifixion, I don't think I would have looked. I wouldn't want to see that, ugh, right? Who wants to see that kind of torture, that kind of sacrifice? It talks about him being so badly beaten and marred, you could hardly recognize him as a man. And we wouldn't look. We would mock. And yet, the truth is, he had become us. When we're looking at that barely recognizable man, we're looking at ourselves, because he became our sin. He became us. He went to the cross for us. You see, we as mankind are barely recognizable as the mankind God created. We are so marred and disfigured from our life and our lifestyles and our cultural things and all that's gone on. And Jesus bore it to the cross. And Jesus bore it to the cross. We look at today and what's going on, and we see a lack of morals and a lack of ethics. And the words are coming out, "You think you're Christians," really saying God has the right to tell us what's moral and what's right. And there's even Christians that are getting involved with that thinking, and their hearts are growing cold. Their faith is growing cold. And Jesus told us it would happen. That's Matthew 24:12, if you want to look it up. He says it's coming. We all need a Savior. Every person who walked on this earth needs a Savior. There's only one who walked this earth without sin, and that was Jesus himself. And then he's given us the good news. He's paid the price. There isn't one person in here or out there that sin hasn't already been paid for. But there is the moment when you receive, believe and receive. Go make disciples. There's a little pamphlet that we like to share for new believers when we're sharing the Lord, and I'm just going to read to you from it. It says this: when God put man on earth, he placed him in the garden of paradise. It was never God's intent for man to live as he does today. How many would agree with that? Yeah. God put man here to love, his love for us. In that garden called Eden, man sinned. He rebelled against God. Now, since God is a holy God, he had to judge the sin. But because he's a loving father, he didn't want to judge man. God loved you and me so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, into the world to take your punishment for that sin. See, he's good to his word. He said, if you sin, this is what's going to happen, death and all of the... He's good to his word, but he didn't want that. But he also provided the salvation, the means, the way out. Jesus came to earth, lived a sinless life, and went to the cross to die. And while on that cross, God poured out on Jesus, that disfigured us, the judgment for every sin anyone would ever commit. I had a few this morning. Not patient, not kind, not nice thoughts. Thank you, Jesus. He paid for that. Jesus took your punishment so you wouldn't have to take it. Think about that for a minute. What he did on the cross was what we deserved, and he paid the price. After Jesus was dead for 3 days, hallelujah, God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand of his throne. So Jesus has paid your sin. Therefore, there's no need for you to pay for it. Jesus went to hell for you so that you don't have to. And he rose from the dead so you could have life forever. And it's simple. All we have to do to receive it, receive the forgiveness for this sin, is believe God and his word. He said, and that Jesus was raised from the dead. And with our mouth, we confess him as our Lord of our lives. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Isn't that good news? It is so simple, brothers and sisters. It is so easy and yet sometimes so hard, because we want to hang on to the old. But why? Good news. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nation. Tell them about it, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. A grateful walk of a believer knows what Jesus did for them. And the faithful walk of the disciple, a believer who's obeying and following, can't help but share with others Jesus' words and share with them the new life they have in him. Why do we baptize? Well, Jesus commanded it. We need it. We need that physical experience that testifies to what already has happened in our hearts, our confession of who Jesus is. It's a witness to us who are watching and a testimony to the one who is being baptized again. Or I'll reverse that. It's a testimony to us and a witness to the heart of the one being baptized. That they died with Christ and have been raised into a new life with him. That he has washed away my sins, and now I can stand before all of you cleansed, holy, and righteous in Christ. The old is gone and the new is here. And I want to tell you and I want to make clear, it is not the ceremony of baptism that creates that cleansing. It's already happened. It's just a public demonstration to us, a witness, a testimony to us of what Christ has already done. Amen? What a wonderful morning. And it isn't over yet. We're going to celebrate and have lunch together. Hot dogs are going to be brought in, and we've got a buffet as normal. But what a great day. Amen? Amen. And I just, we've heard the testimony of two believers. And the testimony of the Lord Jesus is what he's done for us. And this morning, I do not want to give this morning a chance to flee away without the opportunity. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and he's stirring, his spirit is stirring on your heart right now, you can come and speak to me or to the one sitting beside you and give your heart to the Lord. For today is the day of the Lord's salvation. Amen. And there may be some of you among us this morning that wished you'd got a hold of me this week or last week and want to be baptized. The tank is here. And if you feel like raising your hand and putting it up, I have extra towels. Any takers this morning? Well, praise God. Not that we can't set this up again, though I think Don and David are going to get a little tired if we have to do this every weekend. They're just getting it down, so we're willing to do this every week. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and we are so gloriously excited and rejoicing in what you have done this morning, the testimony of your goodness, not only to these two who have been baptized this morning, but to each and every one of us here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are good and only good. Lord, as we go from this time into a time of celebrating and having lunch together, we ask your blessing upon the bounty that you always provide for us, the banqueting table you've set before us. May our conversation be edifying to one another and sweet to your ears, Lord, glorifying you in everything. And as we go into this week, we will remember what you've done, Jesus, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. In your name we pray. And all the saints said, amen. Amen.